Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. If you think the sky is falling, you may be right. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is December 12th, 2013. We're beginning Newsworthy Clips, and you can find it on pages 22, 23, and 24 in your Advanced magazine. Glad you're here for three different stories, and I said at the top of this program something about the sky falling. What am I talking about, Steve Marth?
You were talking about things falling from the sky, and in particular, there are asteroids out there that could enter Earth's atmosphere and hit the Earth and destroy us.
Yes, because that's an old folk tale about running around saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, right?
Yeah, it's like a children's story, Chicken Little, I think.
Yeah, and the chicken was running around saying, the sky is falling, and of course, you know, anyways, it's a long story. I'm not getting into it. But there's always been that fear the sky is falling. But actually, in this case, maybe the sky is falling, right, Amanda Young-Pierre?
Well, yes, or falling through the sky from space. So it's a very interesting article, just maybe making us more aware of what is above our heads, Bill.
Yeah. Isn't that a song?
Up above my head.
Yeah, well, all right, everybody. We'll have Amanda sing that a little bit later in the program, right, Amanda? I'm sure many of our listeners have seen or maybe remember some of those movies from, I guess it was about 10, 12 years ago. Armageddon was one of them, and, you know, a couple of others about asteroids smashing into the Earth, right, Steve?
Yeah, yep. And so it's interesting because we are actually thinking about trying to land on asteroids for various reasons. One is to maybe destroy it, prevent it from entering the Earth's atmosphere and hitting Earth. But actually, people are seriously talking about landing on asteroids as well to mine them, to get some metals out of them.
Oh, okay. So this isn't just a matter of trying to break them up so they become less dangerous, but actually to get resources from them.
Yeah, for real. People are talking about that.
I think it's very interesting. Like NASA, which we're going to learn more about what they're up to, they've been a real part of that as well, learning more and exploring what it is that we can get resources outside of Earth's atmosphere.
Okay. All right. Well, very interesting article here. And, you know, with technology it progressing, it's made it easier for not just, of course, the scientists at NASA to track asteroids and all celestial bodies, but also for amateur people, you know, amateur astronomers to track the skies and what is out there. And so there are thousands and thousands of people that enjoy doing this in their free time. In fact, if you can identify a new body, you can actually have it named after you, right?
I guess. That would be fun.
Yeah. So there could be like Planet Marth.
Or the Tango Bear asteroid.
The Tango Bear asteroid. Or maybe the Young-Pierre star.
That's quite a long name. It might be difficult to say.
The Amanda Star?
That's a bit easier.
That's a little bit easier for everybody. Okay, let's do this. We'll get into our reading. So turn to page 22, and we'll break our reading up into three sections today.
NASA wants to better track asteroids that threaten Earth. Add this to your worry list. Orbiting somewhere near Earth are an estimated 13,000 asteroids big enough to level a country. And NASA has no clue as to when, where, or whether they might strike. With those cosmic threats in mind, the Obama administration unveiled a grand challenge that would redouble efforts by NASA and challenge amateur astronomers to catalog every asteroid near Earth that's large enough to cause significant damage. As it stands, NASA has located about 95% of the asteroids big enough to annihilate everyone on Earth, and none poses any immediate danger of hitting the planet. But they are a lot less certain about where to find the smaller ones.
Okay, NASA wants to better track Earth asteroids that threaten Earth. So, NASA, of course, is the space agency in the United States, and they have been spending a lot of money on all sorts of types of research, of course, landing rovers on Mars and researching the moon, and also sending probes out in space to explore the farthest reaches of our solar system. But now they want to track asteroids. And how do we define asteroids, Steve?
Well, it's defined as an object like a very large rock. You see that in the picture there on page 22. They don't all look like an animal's head like that one does, but they go around the sun like a planet.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on. It looks like a cow's head, Bill.
You know, it does. Now that I look at that, it really does. And they can actually be made of all sorts of different material, right?
That's right. I also want to make the distinction. I think even native English speakers have this problem. There's asteroids.
Yeah.
There's meteors. And there's meteorites. And they're kind of all the same thing, but we give them a different name depending where they are. Okay. An asteroid
right.
goes around the sun. It's in outer space. It becomes a meteor when it enters the Earth's atmosphere. That's what we call shooting stars.
Okay.
And then if it happens to get far enough and lands on Earth, we call it a meteorite.
Mm, yeah. Very good. I'm glad you explained that. So, because a lot of times people will hear about meteors and meteorites,
mm-hmm.
and they are different from asteroids.
Right. When we see a lot of meteors at night, we call it a meteor shower.
Mm-hmm.
You see those stars going across the sky.
Yeah, yeah. And now, you know, it's interesting about meteor showers. When we see like a falling star, those are actually very small particles by the time they enter the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah.
And they're burning up.
That's
so
right.
They're not these huge rocks, but they are just tiny, tiny rocks
yeah.
that are burning up. But it's interesting. They can actually create such a bright light for being so small. So, all right. Now, interesting sentence we begin with.
Right. We start with the words, add this to your worry list. And Bill, that makes me wonder, do people have a worry list? And what do people worry about or put on their list?
Well, do you have a worry list, Amanda?
I don't think I have one written down, but once I start thinking about it in my head, yeah, perhaps like, will I have enough money to have an income? You know, will I still keep mm-hmm. generating an income?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody does to some extent. As humans, we are all prone to worrying mm-hmm. about the future, about our health. And so it may not be written down, as Amanda mm-hmm. said, but maybe in the back of our head, we all have a list. Will our kids be successful? Will our kids graduate?
Mm-hmm.
Things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it's more like a mental thing. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that we have in our mind that we worry about, our worry list. And, you know, you might think of, right, the economy, you worry about that. You worry about your health. You mentioned kids, finances. Those are things that we do worry about. And so we've got enough things to worry about, but now we've got to add something, right?
Yeah. Put this on your list, that there are big, big rocks out there that might hit the Earth someday and kill all of us.
Wow, that's a little concerning.
Happy day.
Yeah, yeah. How many of these rocks?
Well, it says that NASA estimates about 13,000 asteroids big enough to level a country.
Level a country.
Oh, that means to flatten out. We see that in our vocabulary focus. It says to completely destroy a building or area.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill, that reminds me, a couple of months ago, there actually was a meteorite that hit Earth. I think it was around Russia and mm-hmm. some of the stands.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen video footage from that. And it did actually, when it hit the Earth, it did take out buildings just by hitting the Earth.
Now, why does that happen?
Well, there's so much energy being in this thing, coming from the sky, the speed at which it's falling, the size of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of energy. And when it hits the Earth, it expends that energy. And I saw something on TV that was quite interesting, trying to reenact what it's like when these things hit the Earth. Mm-hmm. It was like a guy firing a high-powered rifle into the sand on mm-hmm. the ground. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of similar mm-hmm. as to what happens on a much, much bigger scale.
Yeah. Yeah, because the speed, for one thing, is I believe it's at least 10,000, maybe 12,000 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. That's how fast. And any object moving that fast is going to create a lot of energy.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. All right. So now we're talking about asteroids big enough to level a country, but NASA has no clue. They really aren't sure as to when, where, or whether they might strike. Why would they not have a clue?
Because this is a harder thing to track. You know, they know that they're out there, but there is no way yet to estimate when they're going to happen.
Yeah, it's really unpredictable. So now, how do we get into the second paragraph, Steve?
Well, we see that it says, with those cosmic threats in mind, and cosmic means worldly or in the universe, the Obama administration set up this plan. So this is such a big problem that the President of the United States has taken notice of it and says, hey, we have to do something about this. We need a plan.
I was actually kind of surprised to read that.
I was too. Yeah. This was such a problem that it reached the President of the United States.
Yeah, normally we would read about these things, asteroids, and it's like almost like, well, this is science fiction stuff, and maybe we'll hear from like some Hollywood stars about this. But actually the President was involved in this, so there must be something substantial about this. There must be a good reason for this.
Yeah, maybe it's something like the 2000 scare. Remember that?
The year 2000.
Yeah. 2000K.
The millennial scare.
Yeah,
Y2K. Oh, that was
Y2K.
It.
All of our computers are going to stop working.
But a lot of politicians, I think even the president, weighed in on that problem thinking, hey, we got to do something about this when it really turned out to be nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they wanted to make sure that, okay, we did everything to prevent a problem back then. Now we're going to move into this asteroid problem, and we're going to redouble efforts by NASA. What's that mean, redouble efforts?
That means they're going to, what they're doing right now, they're going to be doing more than double of that to make sure something's going to happen.
Okay, we're going to do more than twice as much work and we can on this to make sure that we're finding out everything we can. And part of that is what?
Well, they're going to challenge amateur astronomers, everybody really who wants to take part in helping to do this. And the word amateur, we often think is someone who's not really good at something, but actually amateur simply means you're not being paid. It's not your job. Mm. You can be very, very good at something and still be an amateur.
Mm. Right.
Just not be paid. And of course, an astronomer is someone who studies the stars. The word astronomer is very interesting. Astro, the prefix meaning star, and the N-O-M in there means law. So it's the law of the stars, and so that's what these guys study.
All right, and what they're trying to do is catalog or record every asteroid near Earth that's large enough to cause significant damage. And they don't have to be like as big as the moon or anything like that. They can be even something that's maybe 20 miles across and cause significant damage because of the speed.
Even less than that, I think.
I think less than that, 10 miles, right. Yeah.
Even like we see, we're going to see later on how small they could be to cause a lot of damage.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised, everybody.
Okay. Now, in the third paragraph, as it stands, NASA has done what?
Located about 95% of the asteroids big enough to annihilate everyone on Earth. So there's still a 5% that has not been cataloged yet, and that's what NASA is wanting to do. But interestingly, we use the word annihilate. When we think of the word annihilate, we think of the end of the world. You know, annihilate is quite a strong word. It says to destroy something completely so that nothing is left.
Yeah, that's a very strong word. It doesn't leave anything to doubt about what it means. So yeah, and of course, those movies that we had mentioned earlier in the program, they talked about these, you know, meteors annihilating the Earth, really destroying the Earth. So, and actually, some of them had some really great special effects.
Yeah, they did.
The one movie had it where it hit and just affected the whole part of the Earth. So now, but none right now. None, we say, poses any immediate danger of hitting the planet. That's the 95% that have been identified. But
there's still, as Amanda said, 5% out there that we can't really find. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to put on our worry list.
All right. So, and there's also a lot of uncertainty about the smaller ones. All right, let's get into our second reading.
NASA scientists estimate that about 13,000 asteroids larger than 460 feet, which have the potential to level a country, remain undiscovered. It's the smaller ones that could be a potential threat and where we have a lot of work to do, said Jason Kessler of NASA's Chief Technologist Office. Still, the money for this program has been minuscule compared with NASA's proposed 2014 budget of $17.7 billion. And even a White House decision to double the amount from $20 million in 2013 to $40 million in its 2014 budget isn't much by NASA standards.
Okay, now give us some numbers here, Steve.
Okay, we estimate that there are about 13,000 asteroids larger than 460 feet. And this is what I was referring to earlier. These things aren't that big, okay, that can enter the Earth's atmosphere and level a country. Now, think of a country, maybe France comes to mind. That's a big place. If an asteroid comes through the atmosphere, becomes a meteor and so forth, hits the ground, it could level, wipe out a country.
Mm. So what I had mentioned earlier, something, an asteroid that might be 10 or 20 miles across actually could destroy life on Earth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're talking about something, say, 460 feet. Just think of maybe an asteroid that's about the same size as a 30-story building. And that is floating around out there, and then it hits France. It actually, that single asteroid could actually destroy the entire country of France.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's not that big, but remember what we said. There's a lot of energy bundled up inside that asteroid. It's traveling at a super fast speed. Mm-hmm. When it hits the ground, it expends all that energy and it'll just level it.
Mm. Yeah. All right. So there's a lot of them out there that remain to be discovered. And what does Jason Kessler say in the next paragraph?
Well, he says it's the smaller ones that could be the potential threat. And that's where NASA still needs to do a lot of work in discovering those asteroids. Yep.
Well, I would think it would be very difficult to track them. And that's actually where the amateur astronomers come in, because NASA has limited resources and they actually rely a lot on amateur astronomers to find these things. Mm-hmm. I believe I've read several articles about they have made some key discoveries, amateur astronomers.
Yeah. In fact, I think throughout history, one or two amateur astronomers may have even discovered a planet or two in our solar system, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So maybe that crazy guy that you think is up on a mountain, maybe used to be your neighbor, and you're thinking, what's this guy doing looking through a telescope every night? He actually may be the person that discovers, you know, the asteroid that they need to know about and could go up and destroy.
He might save the world.
He might.
He might.
So then you'll say, I knew that guy before. All right. Now, still the money for this program has been what?
Minuscule. And minuscule is another way to say very, very small, tiny.
Mm-hmm. All right. And minuscule compared to what?
Well, compared to NASA's budget. And so NASA has a very, very large budget, $17.7 billion a year they can spend. But this program only has 20, but has recently been doubled thanks to the White House. They upped it to $40 million for next year. So it's a lot of money, but not a lot compared to NASA's budget.
Right. When you consider how much they spend on all the other programs, like running space shuttles, sending up probes, that stuff is very expensive. Rockets and all, of course, all of the personnel, thousands and thousands of personnel that go behind all of these projects. To us, $40 million sounds like a lot, but with a government project like this, it pales in comparison. It's much smaller than what these other programs are requiring. All right, let's have our third reading for today.
NASA officials hope to use some of the money to revive an orbiting telescope known as WISE, for Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, that can detect as many as 100 new asteroids a year. Our plan is to turn it back on, said Jim Green, director of NASA's Planetary Science Division. Even though WISE has exhausted its supply of coolant needed to chill its sensitive telescope, Green said NASA hoped it would still be useful for asteroid detection. NASA Deputy Administrator Lori Garver said the aim was to find all nearby and dangerous space rocks by 2033.
Okay, Bill Quinn with Amanda Young-Pierre and Steve Marth. And we're on our final section talking about NASA wanting to better track asteroids that threaten Earth. And what do NASA officials hope for?
Yeah, we just learned that the program doesn't have a lot of money in their budget. So we just learned now that NASA hopes to reuse equipment that already exists. And so we're going to try to use these things and save money.
Hmm. Okay, and we see one example here in this paragraph.
Right, NASA is hoping to revive an orbiting telescope known as WISE. Revive means bringing back to life. So this WISE, Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, is out there. It has the potential to be an orbiting telescope, and they're wanting to reuse that.
Well, and in fact, yes, WISE, I believe, already is orbiting the Earth. However, they have a limited lifespan with these telescopes. We did actually an article on the Hubble telescope, but I believe 2 or 3 years ago, talking about how it had just, you know, stopped functioning properly. It was getting older. And, and again, there's a limited lifespan on these things, harsh conditions out there in space. But they do have this WISE that is orbiting the Earth. However, you know, it needs some repairs, and that's what they're talking about.
Right, yeah. It's already orbiting. It's not on, and that's why they want to revive it, turn it back on, said Jim Green, who's part of NASA's team. And they want to use this telescope for a different function, and that is to track asteroids.
Yeah, all right. And we get into what has happened with WISE and maybe why it's not functioning.
Right. We say even though WISE has exhausted its supply of coolant needed to chill its sensitive telescope, NASA is hoping that they can use it still for asteroid detection. So just like you mentioned with the Hubble telescope, is it, that this here also had the coolant exhausted. Mm-hmm. So it ran out of coolant.
Okay. And now you might think, why does it need coolant? Because normally we think out in space it is bitterly cold out in space, and it is. However, there are extremes in space, and then if it is orbiting and yet it is in the direct line of the sun, then it is now under intense heat. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it needs the coolant to keep things from melting.
Right. And if you've ever worn glasses and it was very warm inside and you go outside, your glasses fog up, they need to prevent that from happening. If you're taking detailed pictures in outer space, you don't want your lenses to fog up.
Yeah. We don't realize how hot it is here on Earth because our atmosphere actually blocks out a lot. And that's a good point, Steve, because this thing might be orbiting out there. But if the lenses are fogging up, it's not going to be of much use. So, all right. So they need this, and they're going to try and get this back up and running, and it will be helpful for asteroid detection. And then finally, we hear from NASA Deputy Administrator Lori Garver.
She says the aim was to find all nearby and dangerous space rocks by 2033.
Well, people, that's 20 years away.
We have time.
Do we have time to do this?
That's a good question, Steve, because we think everything is okay, but then once in a while you will hear about a sudden discovery. Oh, scientists at NASA have discovered there's an asteroid that's out by Jupiter and it's on track to circle near the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, all of a sudden, it's something they were unaware of ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they track them fast. Well, I'm not going to worry about it, really.
Are you going to put this on your worry list?
No, don't put it on your worry list.
No?
It's out of our control.
Yeah. Is this on your worry list, Amanda?
This is not on my worry list.
All right. You're
it's
not
on my interesting list,
well,
but not on my worry list.
Okay. So the idea, I know it does sound far-fetched, hard to believe, but and we think of those movies, but they have actually talked about if they did find something, an asteroid that was headed towards Earth, they have actually considered blowing it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using
yeah.
nuclear weapons
That's right.
to actually blow it up.
Yeah. I don't know whether they need to have people actually get on there, or maybe they can direct a missile towards it and blow mm-hmm. it up, but
yeah.
that's the idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is actually part of why, if they actually do find something that they feel is a deep enough threat, then they would act upon it. Most of these asteroids, they even the ones that they consider, they classify as high risk. Well, they might say it comes within 5,000 miles of Earth.
That's very close.
Which is actually, we think 5,000 miles is far, but actually, when we're talking about space, that's very close, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what is close also for our listeners is Topic Talk. So make sure you go to our website and check them out. In fact, Naomi's going to tell you about that right now.
Have you seen Topic Talks? These are videos that accompany each article, and they're a great way to meet the advanced team. Just go to the advanced page at www.studioclassroom.com and click on Topic Talks. The team provides a summary of each article, insight into particular aspects of the article, and we even perform our radio features in video. If you want to watch Topic Talks on television, they're also available on Zhonghua Telecom's MOD. Check out Topic Talks and let us know what you think.
I have to tell you, Amanda is usually on our Topic Talks and is on our features, and she is an award-winning actress.
Why, thank you, Bill.
Make sure you check out Topic Talks. Listeners, thanks for being here today. Come on back tomorrow for day two of Newsworthy Clips. We'll see you then.